This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Oh, what's up? You ready to talk breakout running backs? You're going to have to make a decision on this pretty early in your fantasy drafts because Ashton Gentry could be a first rounder. Omarion Hampton could be a top 15 pick, and we're pretty excited about them. Cam Scadaboo in round three, Quinshon Judkins maybe in round four for Judkins as well. And there are others that aren't going into their second year. And we welcome Jake Seeley of The Athletic. Hey, if you want to play in a fantasy league with Jake Seeley, well, it's too late. Because his FFT Open League is sold out. But we still have about 80 spots. Let me tell you all, let me just do some quick math here. 11 times 36. So we had 396 spots for sale.
That's impressive math.
We have about 84 left, which means just on the FFT Open, we've made about $78,000 for St. Jude. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Jake's a big part of it. His league sold out. So 11 people are going to be playing fantasy with him in the FFT Open, but we still have spots available. Please go to tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. And if you scroll, and you'll see the FFT Open spots available. If you scroll down to Auction House, you'll see the Podcast League spots available, both the Superflex Podcast League and the regular 14-team Podcast League. The Beyond the Box Score Dynasty League, which is starting this year. The Eliminator League, which is starting this year. All these things. Zoom calls with us. Not Jake. But Zoom calls with the CBS crew. They're available. Go to tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. All right. Without any further ado, Jake Seeley of The Athletic at All In Kid. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And who did not sell out as fast as Nando DeFino, who texted me to let me know that he sold out before I did.
That is not true, is it?
Okay. He sold out in like 36 hours and sent me a text. And he's like, sold out before you, Jakey, as he always says.
Listen, I'm not doing this so I can brag. I'm doing this so I can take a shot at Nando. I had to join the league with Nando and say, hey, you're now competing against Adam and Nando to get sales going.
So you carried his league? Is that what you're telling him?
I did. I carried the league. I carried that league.
So this actually came about at Jake's event at the Flex Draft, where Nando and Adam came to just hang out because they're such swell guys.
Yeah.
And so I said, Nando, why don't you do one of the FFT Open Leagues? He's like, no, I don't want to do that. That requires too much work. And so
I said,
come on, man, you're doing it for charity. He's like, I'll do it. If this guy does it with me, that guy does it with me. I said, Nando, everybody's going to want to play in a league with you. I don't know what you're complaining about. So then he decides to do it. And he has like all these crazy ideas. He's going to send giveaways to people and all this like wacky stuff that Nando does.
Yeah.
But it was like, no, I can't do that. It's too much.
Yeah. Well, he's doing it. All right, Jake. So I actually, I don't even know who the running backs you're going to talk about are, but let me start with Hampton and Gentry because those are two guys that Dave has on his breakout list, and it makes sense, right? We have to buy into these guys, and we have to hope that they do better than they did last year, especially Gentry. What do you think about these year two running backs who were first-round picks in the NFL draft just a year ago?
I'm actually a little bit more excited for Hampton than I am for Gentry, despite their recent talk of, oh, we're going to use everybody in the backfield and everything with Mike McDaniel. I'm like, he used multiple running backs with the Dolphins, and they were both just fine there. So I'm not that concerned about this recent talk. Actually, I hope it drops his price a little bit because I feel once we start paying that first-round price for Hampton, now we're buying basically all the risk in case that he has like a Gentry-like season from last year, this year, and he's still an RB2. But now you're kind of buying that he has to break out. So I would love the fact that it dropped. I mean, we're talking about what McDaniel can do with his weapons, and I do think Hampton is going to easily be the lead. I go back to last year's draft. I don't know anybody on the show was with me. Dave's really smart, so I'm assuming he is. I was one of the people that said Gentry and Hampton were like this close together. Like I was one of the ones that like, I didn't think there was a giant gap. So for them to have similar seasons, I am very much on Hampton. Gentry, I still have concerns. I know the Linderbaum signing. I know the offensive line is supposed to be better. I know everything's supposed to be great with the coaching change and whether we have Kirk Cousins or Turner Mendoza and everything's great. We've seen that before. How much better? I'll give you the simplest version on why I still think Gentry is going to break out, but maybe not top 10, is because to get to top 10, he has to average 6 more fantasy points per game. That's a giant jump for just all these things are going to magically fix everything, despite the fact he is an elite talent. Don't get me wrong. elite talent. I just think that's a lot for him to be on the Raiders to get to the top 10.
Just real quick, sorry. When you say he has to average 6 more points per game, we kind of default to PPR. Is that the format you default to?
It's half, but I mean, okay. It's probably 6.5. I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference if you jumped on PPR.
Let's see. Top 10, he averaged 14.5 points per game. Cam Scadabo averaged 16 points per game. He was RB10. So
okay, maybe that's slimmer than PPR. So there you go. Easier to do in PPR. So there you go.
Yeah, especially because he caught a lot of passes, Genty. He had 55 catches last year. Dave, these were the guys. First of all, Dave, did you have the hood on in the last show we did?
You're going to have to go back and watch.
What do you think about Genty and Hampton? Who do you like better, and how confident are you in using a top 15 pick on them?
Very confident in using a top 15 pick, and I'm with Jake. I don't believe what Mike McDaniel's saying. I don't think there's going to be very many games where Keaton Mitchell or Kamani Vidal is out producing Omarion Hampton as long as all three of them are healthy. Everything that you could look at that went wrong for Genty last year and say, well, it's better for him this year. His offensive line is better. That means he's going to be a little bit more efficient. His play caller is better. He's a contributor in the passing game. All those things that you could say about Genty getting better, Hampton has ahead of him now. Offensive line is better in L.A. I like Clint Kubiak a lot. I think Mike McDaniel is a much better play caller for running backs than Clint Kubiak is. Being able to get targets, yeah, I'll submit that Genty might have more targets per game than Omarion Hampton, but it's not like Hampton is with a coach that doesn't throw to his main running back. And I'm pretty sure that Hampton can beat the 3.5 targets per game that he had in 9 games last year. He was more efficient last year. And then you get to the schedule. And man, that schedule is really tough for the Chargers. They play the NFC West. They play the AFC East. Obviously, the Broncos, the Chiefs, those defenses are tough. But you know what defense the Chargers play twice this year? The Raiders. Mm-hmm. You know which defense the Raiders play twice this year? The Chargers. That's just a little nitpick on top of everything else that leads me in the direction of going with Hampton over Genty. I don't fault anybody that's got Genty out of Hampton. I think this is a tough call, but I'm going to go with the player on the better team with the better offensive line.
I like that you said Hampty too. That was a fun.
That was a weird slip, wasn't it?
That was a fun combination.
Yeah, maybe I'll start calling him that, Hampty.
Yeah, Chase Brown is a breakout that Dave just wanted to throw in there that we've been kind of talking about as sort of our FFG.
I like him better than both.
Me too.
I would take. Okay.
He's a first rounder.
We all
for
do,
me.
I think. Right, Jamie? Everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. So Chase Brown, he's in our rankings. He is 5th. Do you have the ADP, Thomas? Chase Brown's going after Genty for sure, I think. I don't know about Hampton, but.
On CBS, Chase Brown's ADP is 14.3. Genty's is 12.7. Hampton is at 17.6.
Okay.
All top 20 players, but Brown's the best of the three.
On Fantasy Pros, it goes Genty 10th, Hampton 13th, Chase Brown 16th. So Jake agrees. Chase Brown is the man.
Love it.
Let's get one of Jamie's guys here just because he's in the same range. It's Kenneth Walker. And this has been a steady one for you. You've been really high on him, and now so much great hype. Jamie was in before all the buzz, but what do you expect from Kenneth Walker?
It's true.
I think the biggest thing for him is going to be the role in the passing game, and that's the exciting part about this. If you go back to 2024, he only played 11 games. He was actually on pace for 71 catches that season. So if that's something that he can do, I don't think 71 is realistic, but if he can be a 40-plus catch guy, which I think in this offense is realistic, given the hype that we're hearing and the scenarios that I think could play out because of the competition that he has. I think Emmett Johnson will have somewhat of a role. I think maybe DeMercado will have somewhat of a role, but those guys don't scare me when it comes to Walker. Really, it's just about health, and we know that's been a problem for him, but he did play, I think, every game last season. Certainly was a stud in the playoffs and leading the Seahawks to the Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP, all those things. But they haven't had a running back like this really since Kareem Hunt's rookie season. And so I think that gives Andy Reid the opportunity to kind of go back to what he had in Philadelphia with a guy that can be a three-down guy, that can be a physical presence that, again, I think will surprise some people in the passing game. And so I think Walker is a borderline first-round pick. So I like him better than Hampton. I actually like Genty better than Hampton. So I would go Genty, Walker, Hampton in that order. Chase Brown better than all of them. But I think Ken Walker's headed for a huge season.
Okay. You're going to have to decide, these guys over Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, the older guys, these guys over Achan. It's a really tough call. Jake, do you have a strong take on that big group of running backs for like after the first, I guess the first five are gone, which would be Gibbs, Bijan, McCaffrey, Taylor, Cook. And then I think we all like Chase Brown, but the next group, yep. Jake, do you have a take on who you usually draft, who you usually avoid?
So normally I am in that range getting a lot of Chase Brown so far, mostly because mm-hmm. as we just discussed, ADP is not there where I have him back to back with James Cook. And actually James Cook is the perfect parallel that I keep bringing up is that the uptick in the receiving game and we get James Cook or, you know, like you get a little bit more touchdown equity, James Cook, and he's already got that ability. So like that being Cook getting into the receiving game, they're very similar. So I look at those and I am in on Kenneth Walker. My projections actually have him higher than I do in my rankings just because I think there's a little bit of risk, but I love what Jamie is talking about, especially with the receiving game and the teams talked him up. It's not just the fact that they're going to use him in the receiving game. They specifically said, we're designing the passing game out of the backfield to fit Kenneth Walker's skill set, which, oh my God, Seahawks, we could have done this for years. So I love some Kenneth Walker in this scenario. By the way, Bieniemy kind of runs that similar thing with a lot of the jet sweeps and the yo-yos and actually frees the running back, similar to what Jamie was bringing about Kareem Hunt. So I do like him a lot. To get into the next group outside of this range, I think a lot of these guys are vets. So I drop down into like the late teens for two of my breakouts. One of them is Cam Scadaboo. I know they keep talking about Tyrone Tracy, but this it feels like a layup, even with a split backfield, just because what we know about Scadaboo is that he's underrated as a pass catcher. I think just by perception, because he wants to play juggernaut ball and just run through people, despite the fact that like it gets him hurt. And despite the fact he's doing backflips off a busted leg and gets yelled at. If the coach has to tell you not to do a backflip coming off injury, like this guy's got some serious, like this is Gronk level all over again. But that being said, if he plays a full season, even sharing with Tracy, 250 touches, 260 touches in this offense, which should be better. The offensive line was kind of overlooked because of how bad things were last year and that it's a pretty good offensive line. I think Scadaboo has a chance to finish inside the top 15. I have him inside my top 20. So I'll kind of let you take control again, Adam, since it's your show, because I do have more breakouts, but I don't want to keep going and just blow up the show.
No, it's exactly what you're here to do. It's fine. And would you rather have Scadaboo or Travis Achane?
Scadaboo.
You guys, Dave and Jamie, agree? Would you rather Scadaboo yep. or Breece Hall?
Scadaboo for me.
A Hall for me.
I'll do the tiebreak Hall, but barely.
Yeah,
I mean, they're back-to-back for me.
My issue with Scadaboo is just one thing. It's just that broken leg. I don't want to just fall victim to
just that one thing.
One little small thing.
I
mean, look,
I like the way, well, the actually there's another thing. He's pretty slow. And he had I think he had one carry last year more than 20 yards. So he
slow relative to what?
To like NFL running backs. he's a slow 40 guy. He doesn't really I don't think he plays fast. He's just super physical. I think he's a good rusher, but I think he's Kyren Williams is kind of like that. Kyren Williams doesn't have breakaway speed, but Kyren has probably great vision and he gets the most out of it. I'm not saying that you can't be a great running back, but Scadaboo, his yards per carry wasn't anything special last year. He just scored a ton of touchdowns. He's really good at breaking tackles, but he's not running away from people. And I do think we need to keep that in mind. And he's coming off a gruesome leg injury and every single year with injuries, whether it's an ACL or a fractured ankle, whatever it is, it's always, oh yeah, I feel great. I'm 100%. He just said I'm 99 to 100%, whatever. But then a lot of times when guys get out there on the field, they're just not the same. So I don't want to sit here and just buy into every injured player who's progressing so well and is feeling so good when it happens literally every single year. With none of them are going to be like, yeah, I feel 80%. This is never going to happen. But then sometimes it takes a full year or more for them to recover and for us to really know the extent of it. Javonte Williams is an example of that. Breece Hall is an example of that. Chris Godwin is an example of that. So, yeah, that's my issue with Cam Scadaboo, Jake.
You know who else isn't very fast? Kyren Williams is just fine for him.
I know.
Granted, playing for the Rams versus playing for the Giants, but at the same time, I think there's some parallels between the two of them. Obviously, again, a little bit more insane, and we're talking about playing for the Giants, but, you know, the touchdown equity probably won't be as high, but I'm not going to crush a guy just because he's not one of my other breakouts in Tootin, who just definitely has a lot of explosive ability versus Scadaboo.
Right. And I'm curious to see how the Giants use Scadaboo in the passing game. So the report from Dan Duggan of The Athletic that Tyrone Tracy's been in the 2-minute drill, and I said it on the previous show, but that's something that they pretty much split when they were healthy last year. Yeah. But Scadaboo is not a good pass blocker. He came into the league with questions about his technique there. He didn't grade out very well there, but he caught a lot of balls last year, and he did that without Malik Nabers. So that was a big part. He had 24 catches in 8 games, but if you take out weeks 1 and 8, where he played less than 21% of the snaps, he was on pace for 60 catches. So I guess there's just some things about Scadaboo last year that I don't know if he's going to be a 60. I don't think he's going to be a 60-catch guy. That's pretty rare. And he's coming off a broken leg. Why am I talking myself out of Cam Scadaboo right now? I think I've made some good points, right? I mean, like, there's a lot of reasons to like him, but there are some reasons.
No, this is why we're ranking him as a mid-back-end RB2 versus a fringe RB1. Like, that's the risks involved.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Bajal Tootin when we come back. We'll take a little break here. And that's a really interesting guy with seemingly a lot of upside, but also some downside because of Chris Rodriguez. We'll also talk about Quinshon Judkins, and we'll be back after this. All right, Quinshon Judkins is a guy that Jamie put on his breakout list. Jake wants to talk about him as well. Jamie, I'll let you decide how hospitable you want to be toward our guests. Do you want to talk about Judkins first, or do you want to let Jake do it?
Oh, no, let Jake go.
Oh, that's so weak. All right, go ahead, Jake.
I think everybody else in the chat was rooting for Jamie on that one. All right, I'll go. So, like, we understand it's the Browns, and, you know, shout out to the late, great Mike Tagliere, who says bottom five. We pointed this out in an article a long time ago. Bottom five offenses, you rarely get RB1 performances just because it's just the offense pulls them down so far. And the touchdown equity might not be there. To his credit, though, 7 touchdowns in his 14 games last year. And I know there's a lot of questions with the offensive line. So I'm throwing I'm doing all the negatives first, talking about the injury, coming back hopefully for 100% week one. But he actually sounds a little bit better than Scadaboo in that department. But it really comes down to what we know about Monken and Switzer and the run game and what they like, and that we know about Judkins is also is a good pass catcher. Somebody else who kind of got overlooked for coming out of college and what his passing game upside could be. Somebody that, to say what you just said, Adam, won't be a 60-catch guy, but somebody that could be in that 260, 270 carry range with 30 to 40 receptions, absolutely. And that's the real telling point about it, is I think he's going to be the bell cow. And what we really want from a lot of our running backs is not sharing as much. I would actually expect his touches to be higher than Scadaboo. It just comes down to he's playing for the Browns and what kind of a mess that can be. But as a top 20 running back, potentially top 15, I'm 100% on board with that. I have him actually one spot behind Scadaboo.
I think the last time a guy on a bottom five offense finished top 12, there were a few of them in 2023. Breece Hall, and I want to say Saquon Barkley on the Giants maybe that year. I could be wrong about who it was, but it does happen.
Yeah, volume.
Last year you had like...
It's rare, but the volume.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson and Devon Achane were elite last year. They were on teams that were 22nd and 25th in points per game. Cleveland doesn't necessarily have to be the worst offense. They have a very easy schedule. And boy, they really fed Quinshon Judkins. Jamie, Scadaboo, or all of you, but let's go Jamie, Dave, Jake. Scadaboo or Judkins?
Scadaboo slightly.
Scat.
Yep, that's one spot.
I think the thing that would help Cleveland, and when we had Scott Turner on, he talked a little bit about this and just, you know, offensive philosophy and game flow. Like, if they're competitive in the fourth quarter, he's going to get carries. If they're getting blown out, this is the whole point about bottom offenses. They're throwing the ball a lot, and I don't think he's going to necessarily get the opportunities that are going to make him successful. I agree with Jake that he's a good pass catcher, but that's probably going to be Dylan Sampson in those hurry-up situations. So the thing that you're hoping for Judkins, he's talked about this a lot when they hired Todd Monken, is that could he be among the carry leaders in the NFL? And I think Jake just, you know, could have alluded to that as well. You know, this is the type of bell cow that we look for. He had 8 games last year, and we know he missed the end of the season. 8 games last year with at least 15 carries, and he scored 13.9 PPR points or more in 6 of those. So when he got opportunities, he was successful. And I think when you look at it, the talent around him is significantly better just with the two receivers that they added, because that just threatens defenses more. Their quarterback play could be worse, you know, and that's saying something, because I don't think Shedeur Sanders was great last year. Obviously, what we saw from the other guys, and now you're bringing in Deshaun Watson, who hasn't played since 2024, has been miserable by all accounts in training camp. You know, all you hear about is the interceptions. And so if they can get just competent quarterback play, it doesn't have to be great quarterback play, they'll be in games. It will help Judkins significantly. The defense is going to be worse because you lose Myles Garrett, you get worse. And so that will hurt things as well. I'm just hoping that Monken can be capable enough, the quarterback play capable enough. Judkins has the ability to be the type of running back that we look for a lot, especially at his cost. You know, so round four, I think, is the perfect spot to take him. And so, you know, Scataboo, Judkins, Travis Etienne, you know, DeAndre Swift, these type of guys, you know, that's what you're debating. And just to tie in Jake's, you know, wonderful draft that he runs with the flex leagues, I referenced this, you know, when I came back, I had the choice. I started my team with three receivers and a tight end, and round five, I was staring at DeAndre Swift and Judkins. I like Judkins better than Swift, but this was at the time when Kyle Monong was missing practice for we didn't know what at the time, and I have those guys back to back. I took Swift. That's probably going to be one that I regret, because I think Judkins' ceiling is a little bit higher. But at the time, again, not knowing what Monongai's situation was, if you told me at that point Monongai was missing half the season, maybe the entire year, we just didn't know, then I would have gone, you know, and made the pick that I did. So that's one that I'll, you know, track the entirety of the year, because it could ruin my my standing in Jake's wonderful league.
Judkins, I guess if I could make one point, I don't know if you agree with me, ADP suggests that this can't happen, and it's, that this won't happen in a 12-team league, but you never know. It could certainly happen in a 10-team league. I would not pick both Scataboo and Judkins. I think that's too risky. You've got basically the two running backs coming off major scary injuries with their own concerns. You know, like the Browns have had one of the worst offensive lines in football for the last 2 years, and it looks completely different this year, but it might be bad again. That would be a little bit too risky for me. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Like if you went receiver, receiver, then Judkins, maybe we're talking rounds four and five. So whatever it is, they were your first two running backs. I don't think I would do Scataboo and Judkins personally.
So what if you went receiver, receiver, tight end? Those are the two guys that are next.
So that was going to be my pushback, no. Jamie. Like if we are talking rounds four and five, I can't see Judkins not being a screaming value at that point, just because I'm assuming the running backs in round five with them are a complete tier below. So no, I wouldn't want to, but I kind of feel like you're tying my hands. Like you can't pass on the upside. I mean, it's first or last, Ricky Bobby, man. Nobody cares about who finished fourth place.
Well, but if you get in fourth place, you're in the playoffs and you got a chance.
I guess, Adam, if you're staring at Scataboo, Judkins, Swift, you're taking one of those guys in Swift.
Yes.
Got it.
Exactly.
I can understand that.
Yeah,
Adam was about to make the case for why finishing in fourth place is good.
Yeah, I give out a fourth place trophy. And last guy to talk.
Sounds like a Giants fan.
Yes, exactly. let's talk about Jonathan Brooks, last guy Jake wanted to talk about as a breakout this year.
Well, we also blazed right past Tutin.
Right. Sorry. All right. 5 minutes for Tutin and Brooks.
For both? Okay, I can do that in under five combined. Tutin just really comes down to somebody like, and I want to put this out there, not to be like, this is whatever, but it gives perspective on my opinion. I wasn't the biggest Tutin fan coming out of college because I thought he might end up on a team that wanted to only timeshare him. And that was my biggest concern. But similar to Michael Thomas with Sean Payton, similar to the scheme fit that I really like if Price was healthy with the Seahawks, it comes down to fit. And Tutin's fit in the Liam Cohen offense is something that I love. And that's why I love the upside here. Yes, I see the reports about LaQuint Allen, the passing game. Yes, I understand that Chris Rodriguez was signed is going to be involved. But even if it's only 55% of the touches, I'm fine with Tutin as where he's going as an RB2, which will also potentially break out inside the top 20 because he fits what Cohen does and what he wants from his running backs. Arguably, like it remains to be seen, but arguably his explosiveness might even fit better than Irving or Rashad White did when he was with the Buccaneers. So all that being said is like, I really think there's a chance here that even if we don't get, you know, 65% of the touches for Tutin, that he can still finish as a top 20 because this offense ascended so much. And just from the first half to the second half last year and what they're doing under Cohen, it is just a perfect marriage of all those pieces there with Trevor Lawrence and Cohen, everything there. The Brooks side of it, this just comes down to what this kind of similar to Tutin. What did you think about Brooks coming out of college? If you thought he was a potential top 10 running back in the NFL, you're in on Brooks. If you have questions about him coming out of Texas, you're probably out, because we don't know if he looks anything like he did coming out of college. We're hoping he's 100%, but also, does that even mean that he succeeds in the NFL? But the truth is, if the talent is still there, it doesn't even take an injury to Chuba Hubbard for him to take over that job. And that's why I like Brooks, because if he is the Brooks that we knew, he's taking that job by the midpoint in the season, health or not. So that's why I think Brooks is really worth a late flyer. Still going to, like, I think right as of today, still like eighth round-ish. Maybe he's climbing up to the seventh. I'll throw this out there because I feel like there's a lot of people talking about Brooks. If he climbs up to like the late fourth, early fifth, you're kind of now pricing in a lot of risk with it.
Do you think Brooks and or Tootin will at some point just kind of run away with the job and, you know, get, can they get, let's say, 14 or more carries per game?
Brooks, yes, more than Tootin, but I think they both could.
Agreed.
Okay, last question for you. I am on the clock in a draft that Jamie is making me do in the middle of breakouts day. I have the sixth pick. Should I take, it's PPR. Should I take
half PPR?
Oh, it's half PPR.
Yes.
Should I take Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor? Which running back should I take?
Are those the only two?
Or St. Brown. No, it's all the running backs other than the top two, or should I take St. Brown? No, I'm not going
to
take St.
Here,
Brown.
I'll throw it back to you. I'll ask you this question. Do you think the Colts are an above 500 team?
Probably. I know you're going to, it's a great stat. I put it in my notes and I said, Jake Seeley said this is a great stat. And he was also pretty bad in losses 2 years ago too, Jonathan Taylor.
It's just an insane number last year, 30 points per game and wins 10 in losses. That's insane. I don't think it would obviously be that bad, but like, I kind of lean Taylor by a hair. Just because I legitimately do have the Christian McCaffrey concerns. I think if you're shooting for first place, I've often been taking Christian McCaffrey because if he stays healthy, he's one of the few running backs, like he just did, finishes number one in points per game, even with terrible running metrics last year. So if you want to play the game where you like, you guys all know this, we're going to get to the end of the season and there's going to be the one camp, haha, I told you Christian McCaffrey could stay healthy again. And there's going to be the other camp that's haha, there was no way it was going to happen coming off all those touches. And one of the camps is going to be laughing in the other's face.
That never happens.
I took McCaffrey. And then Dave took Jonathan Taylor. Jake Seeley, thank you very much. We appreciate it, man. Just real quick, tell everybody how we can follow your content.
The little small site that I've been working for, The Athletic, if anybody wants to go check it out, we're growing. Yeah. Hopefully you can give us some support over there. If you want to listen to the podcast, I love this because this is the format of my podcast, all in speed run, 20 minutes or less to try and get in and get out in little bits of information you need.
Well, we failed 28 minutes. Thank you to Jake, Dave, and Jamie.
Close enough.
We got, if you're watching, Wide Receivers with Chris Harris coming up in a half hour. We'll talk to you then on Fantasy Football Today.
Podcasts.